Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Weird Childhood Radio Event by W. May F. My grandmother subscribed to a weekly magazine that, for the U.S. audience, was sort of the equivalent to Ladies' Home Journal. In it, you would find everything from folklore stories, recipes, and stories about local heroes, but mostly gossip about the royal family. I would occasionally read these magazines myself when I was bored. I remember one article in particular being about this medium who claimed that she had found a specific frequency on the AM radio band that spirits used to communicate with the living from the other side. She even gave the specific frequency, which I don't recall now, but back then, it was supposed to be located near Radio Moscow. As a young, somewhat nerdy goth kid, I must have been about 10 or 11 years old at the time, and I was absolutely fascinated and was determined to try this out to see if I could pick up some ghost voices for myself. The article suggested that you needed to make a séance in order to provide the best foundation for the session and make the spirits feel welcome. So I gathered two of my equally morbid friends from my class for a nighttime radio séance. It was a sleepover at my house with two of my friends, Linda and Emma. As I recall, we started the seance with the radio dialed to the specific frequency, but nothing really happened. At some point, I think we lost interest when nothing supernatural occurred, and we most likely proceeded to watch rented movies on VHS or gossip about the other kids in our class. Fast forward to a Monday morning, some weeks after our failed attempt, when my friend Linda ran up to me before class with fear in her eyes to tell me that she and Emma had attempted to do a radio seance themselves over the weekend. Apparently, after a while, they had given up when they didn't hear anything. They left the room to go to the kitchen, but they left the radio on in the bedroom with the static noise going. At some point, they heard a strange noise coming from the bedroom where they had left the radio on. They approached the radio, hearing something repeating over and over again. They got close enough to hear, and what they heard was a man's voice repeating again and again. Emma became terrified and started crying. She pulled out the power cable for the radio to make it stop. That Monday, Emma wasn't at school. Her parents had reported her as sick, and I don't remember how many days she was gone. But I do remember that when she came back, she was quiet and seemed traumatized. I asked her about the event one time, and she broke down crying and asked me never to bring it up again. So I didn't. Eventually, we lost touch as we were separated when it was time to start high school. But even now, as an adult, I can't forget this strange and possibly supernatural incident. Through some light stalking, I found both Linda and Emma's Facebook profiles, and I thought about writing them to ask them if they remember what happened back in 93. As an adult, I have come across other radio phenomena that have more logical and non-paranormal explanations, such as channel markers, meteorological stations that broadcast information, sometimes in seemingly mechanical, repetitious form, and even possibly number stations. Reading aloud something that could have sounded like the name Emma through the haze of the radio static. But I don't know, because I wasn't there myself. To this day, I still wonder about this, and if Emma and Linda actually came across a spirit that had something important to say to Emma.
The Big Black Dog by Sam. This is a story from when I was in my early 20s, living with my father and uncle in Ontario, Canada, in the city of Guelph. The day was like any other day. I got up and headed out the door to go to work. I did my shift and got home and played some video games. I did this until it was time for dinner. After eating dinner, I headed to bed. At around 2:45 a.m., I suddenly woke up from my sleep, totally petrified. I couldn't understand why. Just then, I heard scratching at my door. Thinking it was my dad's cat, I chuckled and got up to shoo the cat away. When all of a sudden, my doorknob started to move, like someone or something was trying to open my door. I froze, completely unable to move, when the scratching got a lot more intense. I jumped back and stared at the door. Then the doorknob started to turn more violently. I ran to the door and put all my weight into it, gripping the knob so tight my knuckles were turning white. I held on for what seemed like forever. I looked at my alarm clock. It was 3 a.m. The doorknob stopped moving. I started walking back to my bed, when suddenly, I heard banging on my door. Three really loud knocks, repeating every 5 seconds for a few minutes. I ran to my bed and hid under the covers. As the banging continued, the scratching became more and more intense, to the point it sounded like my door would be broken down. And then, it just stopped. I slowly got out of bed, and as I did, I heard what sounded like a growling animal going down the stairs. I opened my door and started walking downstairs. I noticed the kitchen light was on. There are two ways to get into the kitchen, by the front door or around the living room couch. I walked around the couch and looked in. I saw a massive, aggressive-looking black dog just staring at me, baring its teeth. The teeth were huge, and they looked like they could pierce through metal. Its claws were long and looked razor sharp. It had blood and flesh between its teeth, and its breath smelled of decay. Then it lunged at me, with its mouth wide open. I fell back, trying to run away, and just as it seemed I met my end, it vanished. I passed out and woke up the next morning in my bed. Did that really happen, or was it all just a dream? I got up to use the bathroom, and what I saw in my door made my blood run cold. There were these massive claw marks on the bottom, like it had gone through a wood chipper, and there were paw marks that looked burnt into my dad's carpet. I'm 28 years old sharing this story, and I'll never forget what happened that night.
Dreaming Timelines by LifeSlice 8352. When I go to sleep in this timeline, I have several timelines that I live in. Some nights I live in X timeline and the next day it could be Y, and so on. I literally go to sleep here and wake up in one of my other quite similar lives, but they're still quite different in terms of the choices that I've made throughout major turning points in this timeline. See, the forks in the road, so to speak, that I've experienced in this life have branched my consciousness off somehow into awareness of more and more lives each time. I've died in at least one of them. I've seen the future in several of them, especially since I predicted COVID, presidential candidates, and World War III, which is now starting, in my experience, as per my other lives. Now, I look the same in all of them, just at different ages, although most of them I'm either this age, 23, or living as a 13 to 16-year-old kid, or even 7 to 11. Honestly, it's really messed up. For many years until recently, I used to be terrified of going to sleep and suffered extreme agonizing insomnia that even medications couldn't touch. I was scared that I might not wake up again in this life or that I would get stuck in another. Maybe a timeline that's not as good. Or maybe I would die and get stuck dead in another timeline. These days, I'm skilled at controlling what happens in these quote-unquote dreams, almost like how lucid dreamers do. I have some timelines that lack the laws of physics, especially during fight or flight. These are moments when I can briefly fly or jump extremely high and far when faced with possible death. Has anybody else had these kinds of experiences of several distinct timelines or lives that you're experiencing in your dreams? I remember normal dreams from when I was younger, but I experienced a massive shift and I guess a spiritual awakening or something around the age of 17, and to this day, my consciousness continues to expand even at the age of 23 and further. I explained this to my sister-in-law the other day, and it was the first time I ever explained this to anyone, and I was shocked that she didn't think I was crazy or making it up. She actually freaked out that somebody else besides her experiences multiple timelines or parallel universes, or whatever it is I'm describing. So I know I'm not the only one, but I would love to meet others living like this as well.
The Curtains by Dust Bunny. I shoot real estate for a living, empty houses mostly. You get used to the quiet, the kind that hangs when power's on but no one lives there. This house was a 1950s bungalow, probate sale. The agent, her name was Carol, met me out front, handed over the lockbox code, and said she had another showing. Heat's off. Windows are painted shut, she added. Then she left. My routine never changes. Tripod, wide lens, 3 exposure brackets per angle, lights on and off. I work clockwise through the house and end in the kitchen. The living room had a big front window with shears and a heavy floral curtain drawn halfway. I pulled it back for light and let it fall. The old thermostat read 55. No hum from the furnace. Down the hall, bathroom, bedroom, bedroom. I shot the first one, empty beige carpet, no surprises. In the second bedroom, a narrow built-in bookcase which held a few community cookbooks. On the bottom shelf, a clean rectangle where something had been. I took the shots. As I turned to leave, I heard fabric brush against a doorframe. Just the house settling, I told myself. In the bathroom, the mirrored medicine cabinet reflected the hallway behind me. Nothing there. I took my bracket and moved on. The kitchen was the nicest part. New counters, staged bowl of lemons and all. I shot the sink window, looking out onto a dead winter lawn. Lights on and off. As I packed, the back door clicked, like a latch settling. I was 5 feet away. The deadbolt was still horizontal. No breeze. I pressed my ear to the door, I didn't hear anything. I finished the exteriors and left. On the way out, I adjusted the living room curtain back into place. The shears swayed a little. At home, I dumped the memory card and started calling. In the first bedroom set, the middle exposure had a faint vertical streak in the back hall. Thin, darker than the wall. The frames before and after were clean. I marked it to fix it later. Then, in the bathroom shots, the same hallway showed what looked less like a streak and more like a fold of fabric. Slight motion blur. Again, just that one frame. I told myself I must have shifted, but the tripod had been locked. 2 second delay, hands off. The kitchen set was fine. The lemons looked like lemons. Then I reached the living room shots. The curtain was half drawn, as I'd left it. But in the reflection of a picture frame on the side table, it appeared fully open. The next frame, half drawn again. Only 2 seconds apart. The curtain itself never changed in the direct shots. I checked for drafts. There weren't any. The windows were sealed tight. I texted Carol casually, asking if anyone else had access. "Just the lockbox and you," she said. "The house has been empty for about 6 months, and we just cleaned." I could have deleted the strange frames, but I kept everything untouched. The next morning, she called. "Photos look great," she said. Then she asked me if I opened the living room curtain. I told her I didn't, just enough to see the street. She paused. Then she said, "The seller's daughter wondered if you found anything. Her mother used to sit in that front room and pull the curtain back when the mail came. After the funeral, they couldn't find her recipe box. It was always on the little shelf by those cookbooks." I thought of the clean rectangle on the dusty shelf. I told her I didn't see a box there. 2 days later, she texted me a photo. A small tin with strawberries on the lid. She said the daughter found it in the kitchen drawer by the back door. It wasn't there before. The drawer was empty when they cleaned. I went through the pictures trying to see if maybe the box was there after all. I saw one of the pictures I took inside the bathroom. Through the mirror, I could see a small, pale box sitting on the shelf in just one of the photos.
The Time I Heard the Witch's Laughter by Thermalates. For context, this took place when I was in fourth or fifth grade. I remember that it was Sunday, and like most kids, I went outside during the days and wandered the streets and the woods with neighborhood friends. Behind our street was a strip of power lines that I wasn't allowed to go back into. A few summers prior, a tick had given me Lyme disease, and I spent a few days in the hospital, so it's understandable why my parents wouldn't let me walk in the tall, grassy parts of the woods or climb trees anymore. One of those days that summer, my friends and I were walking in the neighborhood when someone came up with the idea of going into the power lines and exploring. As we took the right off of the street and began walking into the woods, I was hesitant. I was scared of getting in trouble with my parents. However, after expressing this, they told me to stay behind if I wanted, and kept chugging along. Everything up until this point was normal. About 20 seconds went by, and I was standing by myself in about 100 yards of woods between the power lines and the road. This is where things take a turn. And remember, it was broad daylight. I began to hear music, like staticky radio music that I had never heard before. This wasn't like an ordinary radio song by Kesha or Rihanna back in the early 2010s, it was instrumental and repetitive, if that makes sense. I quickly wrote it off as a car going by, but the music wasn't moving from the source like a passing car would as it drove down the street. I also knew no car would be parked on that part of the road as it was quite busy, and I would have seen it through the brush. It sounded like a radio was just sitting there in the woods out of sight. But then it got worse. I began to hear children's laughter over the music of the radio. It was getting louder. All of this happened in seconds. I looked in all directions. There was nothing in the woods, the road, and the power lines that I could see through the brush about 40 yards out in each direction. My friends were only about 200 yards away, but they were out of sight. And then I started hearing her voice, plain as day, coming from all directions, as if she were in my head. She told me to come to her in this creepy tone. "Come, little sweet boy, come over to me," something along those lines. She was beckoning me, trying to lure me like a child from Hansel and Gretel. I remember trying to tell myself that this was in my head while still grasping what was happening. It didn't make any sense in the moment. I remember still looking around and not seeing anybody. No source of the music or laughter or the voices, but they were plain as day. Then I began to hear footsteps behind me getting closer. Remember, again, this was broad daylight. I could hear the crunching of the leaves beneath the feet. I never actually saw anything. However, fight or flight kicked in, and I ran to my friends as fast as possible. Not 10 seconds later, I caught them in my line of sight, walking as if they were just chatting. I was shaking as I caught up to them. I thought they could have been messing with me, but nothing added up. Maybe there was a speaker in the woods? But those footsteps, and there being nobody there. The voice came from all directions. This wasn't something that I made up. This wasn't a dream. I spoke to my friend years later, and she remembers me catching up to them. But this was by far the scariest experience that I could recall.
Did Odd Trails Induce My Sleep Paralysis? By V. Hey guys, I've got a story of maybe a nightmare, maybe sleep paralysis. I'm forcing skepticism here. I just wanted to preface that I've had a lot of encounters with the supernatural / paranormal. The last time I recall anything happening was in my early 20s, when my fiancé and I first started dating. I'm currently 36, if that says anything. I prefer to remain skeptical now, as I don't want anything drawn to me anymore. Anyway, on to why I no longer listen to Odd Trails at home anymore. My fiancé was dubious about me listening to these stories when I'm home alone, since he knows my history. Me being me, I told him everything would be fine. That I listen to scary stories all the time, and they're just that, stories. Until last Friday. A little backstory. We have two corgis, Patty and Mo, that sleep in our king-sized bed with us. We have blackout curtains and always sleep with the fan and air purifier on, so there's always background noise. It's always pitch dark when the door is closed. The base to our alarm system is in the living room, and it gives off a light, so the room is always flooded in a soft glow. We wake up at around 4:30 a.m. during the week, and I promise this information will make sense later. Last Friday, we woke up and did the usual routine. I was washing dishes while my fiancé took the dogs out. When he came back, he complained about a headache and debated going to the gym. I advised him to just go back to bed until it was time for work instead. I was also feeling tired, so I told him I'd join him for a nap, before waking up at 6 to head to work. It was around 5:10 at that time, so he went back to bed, and I joined him 3-ish minutes later. I turned our alarm system back on, and honestly, I was too tired to do anything else. I just hopped into bed and didn't even close our door, so there was a bit of light coming in from the living room. As I got into bed, Mo moved up between us in the middle of the bed, so I turned over and started snuggling her, with my back to the door. Then I feel Patty plop by my back. He does this all the time, so I immediately thought, "Aw, my sweet boy." I remember feeling the warmth and slight pressure on my back. I start dozing off when I hear a shuffle by where my fiancé is sleeping. I open my eyes, and because I didn't close the door, I see Patty stand up, wiggle, do a circle, and plop back down, on the opposite side of the bed near my fiancé. Obviously, I realize, whatever I felt plop on my back was not Patty. Then I realized I couldn't move. The pressure on my back no longer felt warm. It just felt heavy. And it felt like it was spreading, almost like a heavy arm going over my side. Everything felt so loud suddenly, like waves crashing. I lost it. As much as I couldn't move, I knew this was now sleep paralysis. But even knowing or wanting to believe this, my immediate response is always to curse out in my head. So I started internally yelling, "Get off me! Get out of my house! Get off me!" Everything felt so loud in those moments, and it dragged on. I remember blinking, and then the pressure was gone. But I saw a wavy, formless shadow on the opposite side of my bed. I just felt more enraged. My ears were ringing. I've seen these before, so my response was yelling some more in my head, telling it to F off and that it was not welcome. I closed my eyes when I felt the pressure on me again, refusing to acknowledge it and not wanting to show fear. As anticlimactic as it sounds, this is where it ends. I closed my eyes saying, "Nope, bye." Next thing I know, I'm dreaming. I knew it was a dream because it was suddenly serenely quiet, and I was in a park. I remember looking around and actually saying out loud, "Oh, I'm dreaming now. Cool." Because I knew I had just been trapped in my room with shadows. It felt like my 6 a.m. alarm immediately went off as soon as I realized and said this, like a sound bubble had popped. Everything had felt deathly quiet, and suddenly I heard the air purifier and fan again. I hadn't experienced this in a very long time, so I'm not sure whether listening to the stories submitted by others may have set something off in my brain, since there's a lot of stories about shadows and sleep paralysis. We've been living in our home for over a year without anything happening. I even burned sage and went around every room before we moved in to get rid of bad juju. I'm a firm believer that you attract the unknown when you open yourself and your space to it. I listen to this podcast when I'm at work now. I no longer listen to it when I'm home.
Clemson Experimental Forest by Previous Carpet, 3079. Last weekend, I was driving on Old Seneca Road near the forest at night, and immediately, the feeling that I got was extremely eerie. So, my friends and I went back to the house. However, we returned the next day to explore the woods, and we saw a bunch of do not enter and warning signs posted on the trees at the entrance of the forest. The forest has two sides on either side of the road. The right side, from the direction I came, has trails, roads, and hunting grounds, while the left side has the warning signs not to enter the forest. We entered the forest at the most open area that we could find and walked a few hundred yards. We then came across a group of trees growing in a very specific way that formed what looked like a pentagram. After this, we heard the sound of something breaking, which faded into a screeching noise as well as whistling. Then we heard a growl. It sounded like it was right next to us. We then saw a large, humanoid creature that looked to be around 8 feet tall. My friend is around 6 foot two, and it was noticeably multiple feet taller than him. It was a pitch black color, even when the flashlight was pointed right at it. My friend saw it and immediately swung his knife at the creature, but it ducked. We ran out of the forest back toward the car as the creature chased us. We got back to the car, drove off, looked back, and saw nothing. Now, we all agreed to write down what we saw separately and reveal it at the same time to see if it was just in our minds or if it was really there. When we revealed what we saw, it all matched up. Afterward, we started looking on Reddit to see if anyone else had shared stories or encounters in Clemson Experimental Forest, specifically the same side that we were on. Almost every story I found reported the same sounds that we heard: whistling, screeching, and growling. There were also two sounds that multiple different accounts mentioned: jingling keys and instrument noises, specifically banjo and drums, but with no one else in the forest who could have been making them. I haven't seen any other post claiming to have been attacked like we were, but many of the noises and details that we experienced matched what others encountered. I know this story sounds crazy, but the four of us all saw and heard the same thing. After doing research and seeing other people with similar stories, we truly believe in what we saw. Not to mention, we looked up the road on Google Maps, and it looks nothing like how it does in real life. All right, let's start off with some comments. We have one here from There's Tappy Toes. Oh, wow. This is the second Anton LaVey story I have heard recently, also involving young teenaged boys, drugs, and a paranormal event. I wonder if there are more boys out there who've had strange experiences with him. I heard it in the Other World podcast, episode 137, The Devil's Aaron. And Aaron Hager, a few other listeners all recommended this one podcast episode, including a lot of the Discord listeners. So I did actually give it a listen. I couldn't really get into it personally, and I'm not going to badmouth the podcast at all. It just wasn't my thing, and I'm very picky. You know what it is? I think it's because we spend so much time podcasting that it's almost like listening to work, you know? I can't.
It's having fun at work is what you're trying to do. Yeah, it does feel that way. That's why audiobooks all the way.
Yeah, it's like I hear the person talking as a podcast. I hear all the editing in there. I know
the same ad reads.
Exactly the same ad. Like it's like listening to work, and I'm like, I can't do it. So I don't actually listen to podcasts all that much, and this one I couldn't get through. So if somebody wants to summarize it for me, by all means, send me some notes. I'll read through it. Another comment here from Spotify was Lesifium. They said, in referring to the color red in Chinese, they were referencing 198 when we were talking about different colors and different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
They said, writing someone's name in red ink is also taboo in Chinese culture.
Death note.
Yeah, this one stuck out to me because here in America, because of most people use the King James version of the Bible, which everything that Jesus said was always in red, which can be considered a positive thing. Whereas in Chinese culture, it's taboo. It's just so funny how things are the opposite. And that's what's cool about the podcast because we're learning about all these different cultures, but we're also getting stories about how things are bad luck, or things are a dream about this means something bad over here, but then over here it means it's something good. So it really is proving our point that we've brought up a few times in the past, that really it's about intent. It's not necessarily about the physical process or culture around it. It's really just about intent. And that's funny because it goes into this topic goes into the did odd trails induce my sleep paralysis thing by V, because
right.
It's yeah. almost like we influenced them just through the podcast and somehow caused them to have sleep paralysis. Tell me about this. This is wild.
Yeah, I really hope not. I mean, my bad, our bad. That wasn't the intent, at least on our end. In addition to that, I know that she mentioned that she only listens to the podcast at work now. So In the interest of all parties, I really hope that you get to keep your job. We don't want to lose you as a listener. And I'm sure you want to keep that paycheck, but keep yourself safe and rest easy knowing that we are not throwing out any sort of bad energy or any unwelcomed energy for that matter, good or bad. You know, maybe people don't want anything. They just want to hear the stories and scratch their chin and go on about their day. That's fine too. The show's for everybody, but just protect yourself and know that we're not casting anything out there towards you besides good vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny because we talked about in the past how you and I have, when we were listening to a podcast about the Dybbuk box years ago, it was really creepy and we were just like lying on the floor in my my apartment. And I really felt like there was something there. Like I felt like we shouldn't have been listening to it. It was really creepy. And it's just funny how much media like this can influence your environment and your state of mind.
Yeah, we were totally psyching ourselves up for it, you know, like we were anticipating some spooky, scary, purportedly true story with the lights off and laying on the floor, maybe 3 feet apart, maybe 3 inches, I don't remember. But either way, you know, the energy was flowing through the room and we probably just got inside of our heads and felt the same thing. But I think that's just a testament to the nature of spoken media. Kind of like video games we've talked about before. I think video games are probably the most actually frightening form when it comes to consuming things that are meant to scare you and get your heart racing. Yeah, you play Silent Hill or something like that in the dark with headphones on. Yeah, that'll do it.
VR headsets have gotten so good and the horror games on those are so intense and so... They just attack your senses in a way that no other medium can. So you're right. But I think that VR is the ultimate horror experience. It's just very disturbing. It makes my heart pound.
I can only imagine playing Phasmophobia on a headset.
Oh my God. Yeah. One thing that does kind of scare me in movies and TV shows, and I realized this just the other night when I was watching that movie, The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox. It's when somebody is somewhere they're not supposed to be, like they're looking for evidence or something in the killer's house and the killer comes home and you're like, you got to get out of there. He's coming. You got to get out of there. I get such an intense fear and sense of dread watching those scenes. They're very hard for me.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. I have a real life experience with that. Long story short, one of my former friends stole some video games from me. And when his family left to go to the bowling alley or something like that, I don't know, my other friend was like, hey, let's just go into his house and steal it back. No, you can. He's like, oh, okay. And we put on like our camouflage G.I. Joe Toys R Us walkie-talkies. And I like stood out in an orchard and kept eye. And he just walked through the front door. They didn't lock it, obviously. And he just got all of my stuff and walked out like he owned the place. Like, here you go. And it was really cool. And I was able to talk to him and communicate any cars that I saw, and I got my property back. But it was the same sort of feeling like, oh no, is that them? Is that their car? You gotta jump the fence or something. And yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. I wasn't supposed to be at this girl's house one time, and her dad came home.
Yeah, I've been there.
So I had to hide in the closet. All I remember hearing was, is there a boy here? And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God.
That's like exactly like my story. That's insane. I guess we've all been there.
Yeah, he was like searching around the house that as soon as he like left the room and he was somewhere else in the house, I snuck out of the closet and then I went around to jump the fence to get out of there. But when I went around, they have a giant dog that started barking at me and mauling at me while I was trying to climb the fence and it like pulled my pants down. It was like a PG-13 movie scene. It was like if you filmed it, you could have used it for a movie. I did get out of there, but I'm sure she got in a lot of trouble.
That's pretty identical. That's really funny. I guess it's a rite of passage to I don't know, whatever. That's too funny. But back to V's story. At first when I was reading it about the dog being pressed against her and then she kind of realized the dog was somewhere else, I thought, okay, maybe she drifted off and then opened her eyes and the dog just moved. Like, not a big deal, but I think the fact that she still felt it pressed against her back, that same feeling, and then it got even more strong, that's kind of what seals it for me. Is, I mean, granted, it is just sleep paralysis, as some people would say. A lot of people like to discount this as nothing very remarkable, but I think it's worth discussing, always. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're being pointed at is possibly inducing it, which is okay.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like this week there were a lot of stories that I got that I read that I could personally connect to and have experiences with. And one of them is that radio story by W. May F. Not sure what that means. Probably means something nasty. They talked about how Emma, one of the friends, heard this man's voice repeating Emma over and over again through the radio static. And they brought up a great point that there are also number stations that broadcast things like that just keep repeating, whether it be Morse code or just a single word or some kind of message. They're still around. They're still doing it. They're just transmitting encrypted messages for intelligence officers, things like that. And it's cool stuff to dig into. There's like a whole subreddit where people will record them and put them online for you to listen to. And I could easily see how something might have sounded like Emma, just a noise, especially to a little kid. It sounds like a voice saying your name over and over again. That's exactly what a number station would sound like.
Like spirit boxes scanning through the radio. You're going to pick up something, even though some of them are pretty clear, I think. Mm-hmm. But even then, my brain tells me, okay, did this person edit this? And, you know, it's easy to get skeptical with that.
Mm-hmm. The spirit box on the ghost shows is silly.
It always is. I know somebody who did some intelligence work in the military, and they would tell stories about how they would listen in on Russia, and Russia knew it's like, whatever, go ahead and listen. And then like on New Year's and Christmas, they would just get super drunk and be like, oh, Merry Christmas, Americans. Happy New Year, America. Are you listening? We love you. Like,
I love that.
It was like a whole thing. And I don't think it was like a two-way sort of situation. But regardless, it was like a funny little rivalry that they would have on the radio stations together.
That's cute. Do you remember Disney Adventures magazines from the 90s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a ton of them still. I saved a lot of them, and I also bought a bunch recently in the last few years. And there was a story that I read as a kid. I was at Rayleigh's in our hometown. I picked up a Disney Adventures magazine. I started reading it, and there was a section where they were telling scary stories. And I think they were just like reader-submitted stories. It's kind of like Odd Trails. Mm-hmm. And somebody told a story about how they were listening to the radio, and then the radio started talking back to them and responding to them and their questions and things that they were saying. And for some reason, I think that was probably the first scary thing I ever read that actually scared me. I never really read horror growing up until I got into Goosebumps. And this was even before Goosebumps, or at least before I got into Goosebumps. And that was the first thing I read that actually scared me. And like, I put the magazine down and I couldn't look at it anymore. Like, I had to run away. And I remember it to this day, how bad, for some reason, that scared me. The idea of the radio talking back to you and saying spooky things was enough to freak me out. And I think that's where I got started with liking non-visual horror.
Do you remember your first Goosebumps book? I know mine was either Monster Blood or The Haunted Mask. I can't remember which one it was, but it was definitely one of those two.
I think it was Welcome to Dead House. Because I always liked haunted house stuff, and I think that's just the one that I picked out. Yeah, I loved scary stuff as a kid. We got the best type of kid horror ever from any generation. We had the best stuff. They don't. I don't think they make horror for kids anymore, What is there?
I don't know. Danny Phantom? I don't know.
That was like 20 years ago.
Was it?
Oh, it had to be.
Oh,
I got to look that up.
To me, that's like new. Even like Drake and Josh is like teetering the edge of being new.
2004.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it only had three seasons. So it ended fairly shortly after that. Yeah. That's funny.
Well, I do have a meeting at Hugh Bear's in 15 minutes, so we got to wrap this a bit quickly, but I did want to talk about the big black dog that Sam talks about. Really, really bizarre. I don't know how they were able to smell the dog's breath from that far away. I'm not calling BS, but you know, maybe you just assumed the breath was bad. I guess I would too if it had rotting flesh between its teeth.
Yeah.
Maybe Canada wanted its own black shuck like the UK has. Or Mexico's Cadejo. I forget what it's called, but I'll edit it in later what it's actually called. Cadejo, hard C. Scary black dogs are definitely a thing, and maybe this is just Canada's version of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were claw marks and like burned paw prints. So that, I mean, that's proof enough for the author that this, the physical proof of what happened.
Right.
Yeah, it made me think of that song, Black Shuck. From The Darkness. I didn't know what that was about when I first heard that album. That was one of my favorite albums. And I never even looked up what Black Shuck was. I just liked the song.
Yeah, I don't know who Black Betty is either, but that's a good song.
I don't either. It is a pretty cool sounding song.
Indeed it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to think what else to add here. I mean, the fact that this story happens at 3 a.m. with the three loud knocks, three loud bangs.
Yeah.
As cliche and overdone as it is, I say that as somebody who actually experienced it, and it is what it is. You know, my hands are up in the air and I'm shrugging and I'm frowning upside down. It's a thing. It's a real thing. And here we are again.
Speaking of things happening in our real lives that are related to the podcast, I didn't plan to meet up at our spot in the dream like we talked about on Haight Ashbury. Did you? I forgot.
I actually got a message on Instagram from somebody like very upset that she couldn't find us out there. Maybe because you weren't trying. Maybe if like you and I both try, we'll be okay. So let's just, from now on, every night, let's just envision Haight Ashbury until we finally do it.
Every night.
Let's do it.
I'll try. Put a note on my nightstand.
Sounds good. For the time being, no dream stories to report.
Yeah, well, if anybody does have any stories, make sure you send them in. stories@oddtrails.com. Join our Patreon for ad-free versions and support the show at patreon.com/oddtrails. And check out the new episode of my other podcast, like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radiocast. We'll see you guys next week, everybody. Stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.